tonight, kids. We are going to get into our lesson for tonight. So we've been going through these Bible lessons, and of course, you kids did a good job with singing, you did a good job with the puppet show, but now it's time to hear a lesson from the Bible, all right? So I want all the kids to look up here, make eye contact with me, look at me, all right? Look up here, all right? Let's close our mouths, let's put our hands on our laps. If you're going to take notes, which I guess that's drawing for you, but that's all right. And I want you to look up here and pay attention. And we're going to talk today about a very important story called the Tower of Babel. And I like to draw on these family fun nights, even though I'm not the greatest at it. But we're going to learn about the Tower of Babel. All right. And if you kids remember last time we had a family fun night, we learned about the Noahic flood. Remember that? We learned about the flood, the Noah and his ark, and how God flooded the world. Well, moving on from that story, we have the Tower of Babel. And what's happening on earth during this time is that people are on earth. And the Bible tells us that the entire world was united, okay? So I'm going to read some verses for you. And you adults, if you've got your Bibles, then you can turn here if you'd like. Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 11 and verse 1 says this, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." So the Bible tells us during this time that the whole world was united. And it was united in two ways. It was united under one language, and it was united in one location. We're told in verse 1 that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And in verse 2, we're told, "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." So the whole world was united, and the Bible tells us that these people wanted to keep the entire world together in a government for the entire world. In verse 3 of Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says this, "And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." All right, so the Bible says that these people, they wanted to build a city and a tower. Now, nobody knows what this tower looked like, obviously. So I'm going to draw a tower, but we don't know for sure what a tower in this type of age would have looked like. But most people think that it was definitely a tower, which is why it's called a tower, but that it probably had some sort of staggered technology, kind of like we see the pyramids in the ancient world, all right? So nobody knows for sure, obviously, but let's see if we can draw like a little tower here. So this would maybe be the first level. That's the door. You got some steps that lead up. And then this tower, we're told, was built so that it would reach up to heaven. So maybe this is the second level, and we've got some windows here for people in that second level to be able to look out. Maybe there's a person there, and they can look out that tower. And they tried to build this tower, the Bible says, so that the top of it would reach all the way to heaven. And of course, we don't know how tall the tower actually was, and we don't know what the tower actually looked like, but they built a tower. And maybe there was even like a little viewing area up top with a little fence where people could be up there and they could see what was going on. But the Bible tells us they built a tower. How big this tower actually was and what it looked like, we're not 100% sure, but they built a tower. And the Bible tells us that they wanted to build the tower, the Bible says, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Now, sometimes people ask this question about the story of the Tower of Babel. And they'll ask the question, what's the big deal? Because the Bible says that God looked down from heaven and he did not like this. He was upset that they tried to build a tower. And what I want to point out to you, and this is for the adults as well, is that the Bible says that the reason they made the tower was lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And if you remember from the story of Noah's flood, God told Noah when they came off the ark, God told Noah and God told all of mankind, he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So God wanted human beings to scatter throughout the earth to replenish the whole earth. But human beings said, no, we don't want to scatter everywhere. We want to stay together in one city and we want to build one tower. So they built this tower, they said, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And one thing that I want you guys to remember, and we're going to come back to this later on in the lesson, okay? But one thing that you should remember is that this tower represents a religious attempt to get to heaven. They said, go to, let us build us a tower whose top may reach to heaven. So this tower pictures like man-made religion, man's effort trying to get himself to heaven without God. And we're going to come back to that later on in the lesson. But if you kids memorize your verse, who memorized their verse? Raise your hand if you memorize your verse, all right? Well, if you remember, the verse says this, Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And one thing that we can learn from this lesson is that even though everyone on earth, literally everyone on earth, was for the idea of building this tower, they were wrong. Because they were disobeying what God had told them to do. God had told them to replenish the earth. God had told them to subdue the earth. And they wanted to keep everybody together. So here's one lesson for you kids. It's this, that it's better to stand with God than to stand with the crowd. And even if the crowd, if everyone else is saying, let's do this, if it goes against what God says, you know, you should consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Is what the Bible says. So the first part of the story tells us they built a city, they built a tower. So, you know, we don't know how big the city was, but they built, I'm sure, houses and people lived in those houses. And they had a city and they had a tower and they all wanted to stay together. Even though God had told them that you need to replenish the earth. So that's what they did. Now, the Bible tells us that God, of course, saw this. In Genesis 11:5, the Bible says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. So the Bible tells us that God saw this, and God was not pleased when he saw this. So, of course, God is up in heaven, and we don't know what God looks like, and even if we thought we knew what God looks like, we don't ever want to try to attempt to draw God because the Bible commands us not to do that. That would be idolatry. But we know that God was looking down from heaven, and he saw the tower, and he saw the people building this city, building this tower, and staying together, not leaving and not going and replenishing the earth the way that he commanded them. And the Bible says that God was not happy with this. In verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined. Go to, now here's what the Bible says that God did. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Who thinks they know what the word confound means? Anybody know what the word confound means? Get in, go ahead. What does it mean? Yeah, either one of you, go ahead. Do you know what it means?
Yeah, but I can't
pronounce it. Okay. Anybody know what it means, confound? It's a hard word. I don't think you probably, you do know what it means? All right. The word confound means to confuse. And what the Bible was telling us is that God came down from heaven, because these people were building this tower. And God came down from heaven, and he confounded, or he confused their languages, the Bible says, that they may not understand one another. So what God did was he performed a miracle. Because if you remember, the Bible says that the people were all of one that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So these people were all together, and they were talking, they were communicating, they were building this tower, and God came down, and he confounded their languages. He confused their languages. And one of the reasons that this story in the Bible is important is because it teaches us where the source of languages come. You know, our world has a lot of different languages. People speak lots of different languages. And the Bible tells us that those languages came from God, because God created a miracle where he made people speak different languages so that they would be confused and so that they would not be able to finish building this tower and that they would not be able to stay together. So one day, the whole earth, everyone on earth, right? Because God killed everyone in the Noahic flood. Remember, we learned about that? And then they come off the flood, and we've got descendants of Noah and his three sons. They're all living together. God told them to replenish the earth, to fill the earth. And they said, no, we want to stay together. We want to build a city, and we want to build a tower that reaches up to heaven. And they started building together. And God gets upset, and he confounds their languages. And he does this without their knowledge, obviously. So one day, you know, you should imagine this. These people are out there, they're working together, and I would imagine that one day, one guy is looking at another guy, they're working together, they're building a tower, and he looks at his friend, and he says, hey, can you pass me the hammer? And his friend looks at him, and he says, disculpe, no te entendí. And the guy just kind of looks at him and says, what? You know, hey, can you hand me the hammer, please? And the guy, I mean, I don't know, but he probably said something like, yo quiero Taco Bell, you know. And the guy, I mean, he's probably just confused because he's never heard anybody speak like that. So he probably, I mean, if it was me, I probably would just be like, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Just forget it. He goes to another guy, and he probably said, hey, can you pass me the nails? Hey, can you pass me the nails so we can keep working? And you know, that other guy might have looked at him and said, Zupa lo shante plum, and just started speaking another language to him, you know? He might have talked to another guy, and another guy might have said, Glutenbrach, Fitch shot nusen. And I mean, they're just confused with each other, looking at each. He might have gone to some other guy and said, hey, what do you think is going on? I can't understand these people. And that guy says to him, Ching Lao, Shumei Tang Feng Li Lo. I mean, these people couldn't talk to each other. He probably looks at another guy and says, what is going on? And that guy says, Mamma mia, bellissimo, molto grande. He might have gone to another guy and said, what is going on? And that guy says, konnichiwa, torasendusuki. And this is what God did. He confounded the languages so that these people could not speak to each other. And what's important about this lesson of the Tower of Babel is that it teaches us not only where languages came from, but it teaches us where nations came from. Because what ended up happening was that God scattered these individuals, and God caused them to leave and to replenish the earth. So these individuals, they tried to talk to each other, and they couldn't. So they ended up having to leave, you know? And this is not only where we get languages from, but this is where we get different cultures from. Because these people were trying to talk to each other. They were trying to communicate, but they could not understand each other. So what they ended up having to do is find other people that spoke their same language, and then they went with those people, and they left and started living with those individuals. And this is where languages came from. This is where nations came from. This is where cultures came from. So maybe there was a guy there, and he was speaking Spanish, and he had a very festive big hat, and he found other people who were speaking Spanish and also had a very festive big hat, and he started hanging out with those people. And eventually, they left the location of the Tower of Babel, and they moved on and created another country with other people. Maybe there was somebody there, and he is speaking Chinese, and he couldn't understand what the other people are saying, but he went off and found people who he could understand, and they were speaking some sort of Chinese or Mandarin or something like that, and he went and found them and started living with them, and they probably went off together and formed some sort of a place to live. And this is where the Bible tells us not only that languages came from, but that nations came from. Because these people, they were trying to talk to each other, remember? But they couldn't understand each other. So let's see if we can draw a few more. Let me see. Maybe this is like... Let's give this guy a beard. He's like a Middle Eastern guy. So let's give him a beard. And maybe this guy spoke some sort of Arabic. And he went around looking for people that he could understand. And when he found other people that spoke the same language that he spoke, he ended up hanging out with them. Let's make this guy... Let's make this guy a... Maybe we can make this guy a cowboy. Let's give him a red scarf. All right. This guy eventually ended up in the Americas, I'm sure. So the point is that these individuals, they couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't understand each other. God confounded their languages so that they would not be able to build this tower. Because remember, God told them, I want you to scatter. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to replenish the earth. But they said, no, we're going to stay together. We're going to build a city, and we're going to build a tower. And here's another lesson that I think is important for kids and for adults to remember, and it is this, that God always wins. And what God wants done will happen. And these individuals did not want to obey God. They wanted to stay together. But God wanted them to be scattered throughout the earth, so God confounded their languages. And the Bible says in Genesis 11 and verse 8, it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So they never actually finished building the city, and they never actually finished building the tower, because once they couldn't understand each other, the Bible says they found other people that spoke their same languages, and they just went their separate ways. And they went and established different cities, and they established different cities, and they established different colonies. And God's will was done because God scattered them from off the face of the earth. Here's another lesson that you kids should remember, and it's good for adults as well. And it is this, that the Bible says in Acts 17:26 that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know, the Bible teaches that God is the one that created nations. He created languages, and he's the one that establish these different nations. So, you know, we should never look at people from different cultures or different ethnicities and look down on them or think that we're better than them, because the Bible says that we all came from the same descendants. We all came from Noah. We all came from Adam. God created all of us, and he's our creator. And there's not different races. There's just one race. It's the human race. So the Tower of Babel shows us how we all came from Noah, and of course how we all came from Adam. Now, real quickly for the adults, and you kids can listen to this as well, but on Sunday mornings we've been learning about end times, and in fact this Sunday morning today we talked about Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, but I want to just point out to the adults that when we looked at Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, Jeremiah 50 and 51, what we learned about Babylon is that the Antichrist uses Babylon to establish a one-world government and a one-world religion. What I want to point out to you is that this started all the way back at the Tower of Babel, where human beings wanted to establish a city, that's the government, and a tower, that pictures religion. They wanted to have, for all of human history, human beings have wanted to have a one-world government, one-world religion. Every one of the world empires has attempted to bring the world under a one-world government, one-world religion, and the Antichrist is the one who's going to do that. That's why in Revelation 17 and 18, the kingdom that's coming, it's called Babylon because it has the spirit of Babel. This place that they built the Tower of Babel, you kids, this is for you. The word Babel means to make a noise that is not understandable. When someone is babbling, they're not saying anything. You can't understand what they're saying. And this place ended up being called the Tower. This ended up being called the Tower of Babel. And this area ended up being called Babel or Babylon because this is where this took place. And that's why we, in the end times, when we have the one world government and one world religion, it's called Mystery Babylon. So anyway, that's a little bit for the adults. Now here's the thing, kids, and here's the part that I want you to pay attention to, okay? When these people built this tower, here's what they said. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And what they were doing is a picture. I think that one of the reasons that God was so upset about this was, first of all, because they weren't doing what he told them to do, which was to replenish the earth. But I think another reason is because this pictures man-made religion. They thought that they could build something that would get them up to where God was in heaven. And today, there are lots of people, and there are sometimes even kids will think this, that we can get to heaven based off our own human effort, that we can get to heaven based off our own work and the things that we do. But you know, the Bible teaches that salvation is a free gift. And I want you kids to listen up, because the next two verses that you're going to have as memory verses are Ephesians. You sang a song about it today, are Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I know you kids are Verity Baptist Church kids. Your families come to our church, so you guys have heard the gospel. But I think it's important to reiterate that the Bible teaches that we don't work our way to heaven. The Bible teaches that we don't get to heaven based off our own effort or our own merit. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're not good enough to get to heaven. So Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross. The opposite of the Tower of Babel, the opposite of man-made religion, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to pay for something we could not pay for, our own sin. And therefore, he gives us salvation as a free gift. Who likes gifts? I think we all like gifts, right? And if somebody was going to offer you a gift, you would probably want to take it. If someone said, "I'm going to give you a gift, do you want it?" You would probably say yes. But you know what the Bible teaches is that salvation is a gift. We don't earn it, we don't work for it, and once we have it, we can't lose it. It's "for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we want to remind you kids that it's not about working your way to heaven. It's not about trying to do good things and hopefully you'll be good enough to go to heaven. It's about putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't memorized the verses, you should memorize them, because those are your next verses for the next Family Fun Night. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll finish our lesson tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these stories that you give us in the Bible. They're not just stories. They're actually history, and they teach us not only about what actually happened in the source of nations and languages, but also they teach us about salvation, and they teach us about obeying you and about being obedient to your will. Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn these lessons. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.